and welcome. I'm Richard from the Veg Grower Podcast, and it is the 4th of June 2018. And today's podcast features an interview with Richard Vobes and the lovely Julia. Now, this is the Bald Explorer group, and I've been doing quite a bit of work with lately. I've mentioned them many, many times, and Wednesday they actually came down my allotment for a live show. And after the show, I kind of wanted to get their thoughts and feelings on the allotment and growing food. But anyway, that'll come up later. It's a really cool interview, actually, I think, anyway. But before that, we have the diary and the calendar. So let's go through the diary and what I have been doing over this last week. Well, last week after work, the weather kind of allowed me to do a bit at home. And I was just planting out more plants. Just my peppers and chilies and cucumbers, now I found them. I actually didn't need to do a huge amount of watering because we had quite a bit of rain at the beginning of last week, and that's kept the soil moist, so that was a bonus. Now, Wednesday, of course, we was on the live show, the Vobe show from my allotment. If you watched it live, thank you very much. It was really, really cool. Great success, a lot of fun. And it's just such a brilliant video. It's something very atmospheric about the whole thing. I have put a post out last week with that video embedded into it. If you haven't watched it, please check it out. Or, of course, add the links to this blog post. Now, Saturday, I spent a bit of time at home in, first of all, just tidying and tying in tomatoes and removing side shoots and nothing too strenuous, to be honest. In the afternoon, my nieces came over and we took them down the allotment in order that they could plant their own plants that we sowed a few months ago. These were sunflowers and pumpkins that I gave them the seeds for at Christmas. Now, my nieces are 3 and 5 years old and they're actually quite enthusiastic about growing things, so I'm quite happy to do this. But what I've done this year is I've given them each their own little bed. Now, these are what I grew the potatoes in last year, so they're not huge beds, but we gave each bed a good weed in and made sure it was clear before planting out the plants. Now, I made a point of helping my nieces and telling them what to do, but basically let them do it on their own. Now, the 5-year-old niece was a bit better at doing it than the 3-year-old, but even a 3-year-old was trying, although she was digging a hole to plant things in. Instead of going down, she was digging across and putting it into her bucket, bless her. But anyway, it was a lot of fun. Now, they did actually get their plants planted out. And my 5-year-old niece, she made a little song about how to get her plants out of the pot, which was hold it in your hand, turn it over, tap it, squeeze it, pull it. It was really cool. I haven't said it quite right. She's got her own unique way, you know. But it was really cool and really engaging getting little nieces engaged in gardening, of course. And of course, I've got to look after them. They'll be coming over to help every now and then, but the most part, it's down to me. Sunday morning, I headed down the allotment again, and this time on my own. And I started with a bit of strimming, just getting the grass cut down, and just makes the whole place look a lot better when it's strimmed. Then I got my barbecue on the go, and I cooked up some ribs. Well, I was slowly cooking them, I guess I should say, while I was working, just for a bit of lunch. With the ribs on the go, I planted out the rest of my sweet corn, which is a variety called Swift, which I've never grown before, so I'll be excited to see how they turned out compared to the incredible last week. I then planted out a few courgettes and cucumbers, now that I've found them, which is a relief. I knew I had them. They were in the same tray as some courgettes, so I found them, my cucumbers. Now, I've actually planted out probably about 5 courgettes down the allotment, which is probably too many, and I've still got a lot more to do something with, but never mind. Now, after that, I sorted out my compost bins, and that was because I'm going to be growing pumpkins and squashes in my compost bin. Now, my large pallet made compost bin that was full. I've leveled that off and I've taken the excess and filled that into the plastic compost bins. I've then chopped down one of my comfrey plants completely, and I've put a layer of comfrey chops on every compost bin on the top of the weeds and stuff that I've removed. That's obviously on the pallet made one, the plastic ones. I've then topped this with a layer of compost, a good few inches thick, and now I've planted out several pumpkins into these. Now, I've got three varieties of pumpkins this year: Atlantic Giant, Big Max, and Red Turban. Last year, I only had success with the Big Max, which actually produced a fairly decent-sized pumpkins, as you may remember. The Red Turban died pretty much soon after planting, and I'm hoping these are going to be more successful last year, because I'm kind of intrigued to see how these would do. They sound exciting, I guess. Now, when I got the pumpkins and everything planted out, gave everything a really good watering, and I decided we needed some new potatoes. Now, I got one of my buckets and I emptied out the compost to get to the potatoes, and I had about four potatoes that we could eat. Thankfully, the plant itself looked in pretty good condition, so I've popped that back in with fresh compost and gave it a good watering. And I've then repeated this on two more pots. Now, each pot only had one seed potato planted in each of them, so I'm pretty happy with it. It done okay. The new potatoes we had for dinner last night, and they were delicious to say the least. And out of the three pots, we had enough to make or to use for a meal for the two of us. But yeah, they were really tasty. Really pleased with that. Anyway, after harvesting the potatoes, I tidied up and headed home. When I got home, I cleaned the chickens out and the quail out, like I normally do, and then mowed the lawn. Now, I'm looking at my vegetable patch at home, and I'm trying to create a watering system. Nothing special, so I just want to get my watering a bit better at home. So I've attached a sprinkler to a water pump in the water butt, and after a bit of fiddling around, I've got it to work. The pressure seems enough to move the sprinkler around, but every now and then I have to stop it and just clean out the jets. And I've have to move the actual sprinkler around different parts of the vegetable patch as well every few minutes, just so everything gets a decent amount of water in. But so far, it does seem to water everything. Eventually, I will be putting this onto the timer so it can water in the morning or some point when I don't have to do anything really, which sounds a bit lazy, but I'm of the attitude that it may be lazy, but as long as it gets results, and I'm of the attitude that I can automate things to make my life easier and more time if it provides me with better food. So that is the diary up to date. Let's take a look at the calendar. Now, it reads, now that they've finished flowering early, herbaceous plants such as hardy geraniums should be cut back to 7.5 centimetres, 3 inches above ground level. This may seem brutal, but the plants are tired and this will encourage the growth of fresh new foliage for the rest of the summer, and even a few late flowers. Well, I don't really have much to add to that. It's based at for flowers, not food production, but all I'm thinking as I was reading that is peas. Now, peas are best to be picked regularly, and the more peas you pick, the more that are produced. So that is where my head is at with that calendar. Now, the interview. I've wanted for a while to get Richard on my podcast. He's been a really good supporter. He's been a really good friend. So I've been on his show many times, and I felt I had to Not that I had to reciprocate, but I felt I should reciprocate. Unfortunately, he's not a gardener, although he does appreciate fresh food. And I didn't want to have him on the show and talk about something completely not gardening related. So when we were down the, when we were planning the live show, I figured actually it would be cool to get him and Julia on an interview just to get their impressions of allotment tiering and allotments and what have you. And now, as you listen to this interview, you may find their perspective very interesting and the views of allotments and also the enthusiasm. So I'll put this interview up now and then we'll come back and close off this show. Well, I'm joined on the allotment with the lovely Richard and Julia. Richard, otherwise known as the Bald Explorer, just explain a little about who you are and what you do, please.
Okay, well, I'm Richard Vobes. I am the Bald Explorer, and you can find me on thebaldexplorer.com and on Facebook and all the usual places.
YouTube.
And YouTube, of course. And I suppose my main claim to fame is that I walk around the country looking at heritage, nature, landscapes, history, and interesting places. And very often I take the lovely Julia with me to assist and add her wonderful contribution.
And she had some wonderful contributions.
She certainly does, absolutely.
Oh, really?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yes, and it's sort of video walks, I suppose. I also do documentaries, which have been on the television, and I've got a background in entertainment.
Good enough, great stuff. So, this is the first time you've been on my allotment.
Yes.
What's your first thoughts, really?
Julia, what do you think?
It's rather awesome, isn't it? It's full of lots of cool stuff, like onions. They're pretty cool.
You've never actually seen an onion in the ground?
No, I had not ever seen an onion actually in the ground, so that was pretty cool. That was, yeah. Well, I knew they came from there, obviously.
Of course.
But, you know.
But actually seeing
but
them
to
grow
actually see it is
not
is
quite what you imagined.
No, no.
And, am I right in thinking that your allotment is two standard allotments together?
No, it is a full-size allotment.
Oh, it is, okay.
But they split them in half when there was a mass cry for allotments.
Oh,
so
right.
They could
okay.
get more people on.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's what I suppose what I found particularly interesting is how much stuff you can grow in what is comparatively small area. You know, because when you see fields of wheat and fields of barley, you always think that you need tons of land, but actually you crammed in so many different varieties of so many different things in such an amazingly short, you know, smallish area that was impressive.
Yeah.
And there's still space to walk about.
Yep, yeah.
And definitely. have a barbecue.
Yeah. I should just explain, we've done a live show for Richard's Vobes show on Facebook tonight, which is why he's been down here. Went really well. I'll add a link to this podcast if anyone's interested in watching it. But that went really well, and we all enjoyed ourselves.
A live Facebook show set up with computers and laptops and microphones and
supplied dinner live on Facebook.
And Richard cooked at the barbecue, and we all tasted and with some of the produce from the allotment, which is, you know, fantastic.
Yeah.
So, very, very impressive. And I think you said that there was something like 200 different potential plots here, or 400 or something.
I mean, I've seen number 157, so I suspect there's up around 200 plots. And if they split them all in half like they were doing, I mean, that's not strictly true, but quite a few of them were split in half.
But it's all very clean, and it's all very accessible with trucks and vehicles and cars and public access.
Yeah, I mean, I'm lucky with that one. My old one, we had a road at the top, which was just part of a normal road, and it was on a hill. And I had to walk basically the length of two allotments down a steep hill, which, if you know Brighton, it's a very steep side.
Yes, yes.
Just to get to my allotment. And that was hard work. So when this one came up, I grabbed it because the access was such a big thing.
Dead man's boots, eh?
Dead man's boots. The amount of times I slipped down that slope and what have you. So, yeah.
And I mean, the other thing is, here we are in the evening, and it's very quiet, and you can hear a lot of birds twittering, not too much noise, the occasional train, but it's in a brilliant location,
yeah,
which must make, when you're working here, time to think and time to be at peace and rest and relax, and you can sit in your potting shed and have a cup of tea. I mean, you know,
yeah.
I don't have a garden, and if I had time, an allotment would be an absolutely perfect thing to me, because I think growing your own food is so important.
Mm,
yes,
absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I know, Julie, you've been recently looking at your food, haven't you?
Yeah. I want to move away from supermarkets and stuff like that, and I'd like to be able to afford farm shop foods all the time, but of course that does in itself get expensive. So ideally I'd like to be in control of my food from start to finish, and I'm not just talking about veg, you know.
Yeah.
In an ideal world I'd be raising my own
pigs and cows and stuff.
Yeah. So I'd know how they lived and how they died, but you know, an allotment will be a first start for that, I think.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I've got a listener, Steve, if you're listening, I'm talking about you, who had health issues, that he started looking at growing, or he had to eat organically and healthier food. So he looked at the price of shops, came across my podcast and thought, I know, I'll get an allotment. And that, I mean, I think I've said before, he's made so much savings, or worked out the value of his food, that if he spent it in shops, I think he was in profit something like £4,000 last
year.
And that's all organic, homegrown. It's
easily believable.
As good as farm shop food.
But the thing, the other thing about having an allotment, which strikes me, not having had one, is when you go into a supermarket, there's a certain range of stuff, you know, one variety of rocket, or, you know, a couple of different varieties of tomato, and that's your lot. So you've got lumbered with what they've decided that you or the general customer will want. And the joy of being able to experiment with different varieties and go, oh, okay, that wasn't as good as I thought, but I've learnt something, and that went really well. You know, that must just add to your personal joy of growing stuff and thinking, wow, you know, I didn't know that you could even get this.
Yeah, yeah. Jerusalem artichokes are a brilliant one of that. You've probably never heard of them.
Jerusalem, funny enough, I have heard of Jerusalem artichokes, but I don't think I've ever tasted them.
No, well, when they're ready, I will cook up a Jerusalem artichoke soup and we will try that.
Oh.
I will warn you, they have a nickname, fartichokes.
Oh, right, okay.
Because they do make you...
Yeah. I think, actually, now you say it, I may have had them in the long distance past when I was going out with my previous partner, and because she mentioned they were known as fartichokes, so she said, you're in the other room tonight.
Well, they're not smelly ones, but yeah.
Quilt lifters,
definitely that. Now, as we drove up to this allotment site, it rang some memories for you, didn't it, Richard?
Do you know, I hadn't thought of this until you turned the van off the, whatever the name of the road is, into this area. Because, go back to 93, 94, I can't remember exactly, I think it was 94, there we go. Yeah. And probably about March time, I was making a children's television pilot off my own back. We got some backing. We were filming this on film, 16 millimeter film, and we were shooting this little pilot on spec to show to the television companies with this idea. And it was a program that subsequently was bought and did go out, called Snug and Cozy, and was on children's ITV in 96 and 97. But the original pilot, a very important sequence, was filmed in an allotment in Littlehampton, which I'd, over the years, because it's over 20 years ago now, driving along that road, I'd seen new builds had come up. And I thought, oh, they've built on the allotment. And it was only as you drove in that I recognised the little slip road that came in. And I thought, blow me. And I said to Julia as we came in, I said, this is where we filmed the allotment sequence. We had a caravan, which we kept as our production base, and we had all our equipment in there. We had a low loader, a sort of small pickup truck type thing, with a garden shed on it. And the idea was this: these two spacemen, comedy spacemen, who spoke in gibberish, crash landed on Earth thinking in the original pilot, the idea was they crash landed and they thought this was their holiday home that they were going through across the Gulf of Space. They thought, well, we've landed on a holiday home. And it was an allotment, and they saw these garden sheds and thought they were holiday homes. So they broke into one, thinking it was a holiday home, talking their gibberish, and in the end they ended up destroying everything, of course. You know, it was comedy. But it was shot here. And we took 2 days to film the bits we needed to film, one of which was I had to be thrown into a manure heap, and it was genuine chicken manure, and I was thrown headfirst into this thing. Nice. We stayed overnight in the caravan on site. We didn't ask anybody because we didn't want to take all our gear away. So, yeah, amazing memories of being here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, when you said that, I was absolutely... I mean, it's made my day. Obviously, we became pretty friendly over the last few months, I suppose.
Yeah.
And to have that extra connection just makes this place feel all the more special for me. So,
oh well,
thank you for
that's
that.
Cool. No, yeah, yeah, no. It's curious coming back here because it was that because it. I suppose it hasn't. It seems to have got a bit more organised. Mm. It seemed to be very loose when we were there, and there was a huge swathe of land that we were actually on. But now it's a lot more sort of regimented and cleaner and tidier.
Yeah.
But it was definitely here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there we go.
Yeah.
There we go. Did you want to have a walk around and see if there's anything that caught your eye?
Yeah. Let's see what in your little allotment.
In my little allotment.
Yeah. Yeah. You'll have to, because what the listener probably won't appreciate is now, as it's getting into the evening, it's quite dark. So yeah, how much we will see, I don't know.
Half nine at night. And
yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah. No. I'll let you lead on. You're
okay.
You're the man.
Okay. Well, we're not. For the listeners at home, at the moment we're at the bottom end. When I start my YouTube videos where I do the walk around, I normally start at the other end. So we'll do it in reverse order.
Do a reverse order.
So, yeah.
Strawberries, lots of big strawberry leaves I see there.
Yeah, there's strawberries under there. They're actually there to suppress the weeds growing underneath the apple and cherry trees.
Fair enough.
This apple tree, actually, you've recently been to Glastonbury and done some videos there, haven't you?
Yeah.
When I visited Glastonbury last year, there was a variety of apples in the cider orchard. I don't know if you saw it, but they kept mentioning Kingston Black.
Oh, okay.
That's Kingston Black.
See.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we never ventured into the orchard part.
No.
Oh, right.
How long have you had your Kingston Black?
Well, I moved it over from my old allotment, so that's probably 4 or 5 years now.
Oh, okay.
So.
Then did you grow that, not from a seed, but from a cutting or something?
No, I bought it as a bare-rooted plant, so it came in a post.
Came in
the post.
Yes, that's cool.
This is really cool. I got an apple tree that came in the post.
So
you've got here a little bay of something, and you've got some sticks coming up with bottles on the top. What's the purpose of the bottles?
Well, the bottles are there. Basically, when I'm working on it, when I lean over, what I don't want to do, and you'll probably understand this, I don't want to catch my eye.
Ah, yes.
So they're there as a cheap way to
alert you.
Save your eyes.
Save my eyes.
Oh, I see, yes. I'm with you. I wondered if, because it's dark and I can't quite see it clearly, whether it was a watering mechanism, but they're not filled with anything, are they?
No, no. It's just purely there.
They're there to protect you.
Yeah, I mean, good even idea. If I fell on it or leant into it, obviously, it's a stick. Yeah. And if I'd
it's such an easy, simple idea, just old water bottles or fizzy drink bottles.
Yeah.
Stuck on the end of a stick.
Speaking from the perspective of a klutz, better safe than sorry.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So can we walk down the middle of these aisles?
Yes, we can.
Mind the grill there.
I'll just move that. Yeah, it's a bit narrow. I've probably made these beds a bit too small.
So I can see these are your onions in here, are they?
Yes.
They're beautiful, beautiful onions. Huge size of onions.
We ate one of these in our burgers today.
Oh, yeah, they were delicious, I have to say. I've kind of new onions came out of the ground, of course, but I've never seen them like this. I didn't realise that. What do you call this? I mean, it's not the root, is it? But the leaf.
Foliage.
The foliage. Yeah, I didn't realise how tall that came out, because that is coming almost up to my waist.
2-3 foot, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was teaching Julia earlier about taking the flower heads off.
Oh, right.
So,
I got into the hang of that, didn't I?
Yeah, yeah. So Julia started helping me with that. And
if you take the flower heads off, does that make the bulbs grow bigger?
No.
Basically, when a plant is trying to flower, it's trying to reproduce.
Oh, I see.
So it puts all this energy into the flower.
Yes.
So you take it off and it'll put the energy back into the bulb.
Yes.
Oh,
I see.
There you go. Julia's just removed one.
Fantastic. Barely sitting. Yeah.
It's getting a bit dark.
Oh, I see. So that's kind of... So what have we got over here? Is that sweet corn?
No, that is garlic.
Garlic?
Yeah. These six here... Well, these six here are the elephant garlic that when I first came on your show, I brought that big...
Great big thing.
Yeah.
So that'd be why then, because it's an elephant garlic.
Yeah, it's an elephant garlic, so they are very big.
Tastes what it says on the box.
Exactly.
I thought it was a little long
These are ordinary garlic. There's sweet corn just there, but I only went in at the weekend. You probably right down the far end.
Oh, okay. So they will be ready in the September time?
Yep.
September, October?
Yeah, September, October.
You got shrooms here.
Yeah.
Who? Shrooms?
Mushrooms.
Oh, mushrooms.
Yeah. I'm allergic to mushrooms, so I can't.
Oh, you can't pick them.
I can't. Well, I can. I'm not heavily allergic, but mushrooms is something I would like to be able to grow, but I just can't do it.
Right. Mm, so you have to be careful that you're allergic if you eat them as well or touch them.
Eat them. Eat them mainly. Yeah. I mean, I'm not heavily allergic, but enough that when I ate corn once, because my family's vegetarian. Oh. I couldn't breathe that night, so...
Oh, crikey.
I mean, I didn't go to hospital or anything, but...
No, just died.
I'm not really here.
No. Oh, amazing. So you've got the big bush here on the right-hand side. What would you call that?
That is Jerusalem artichokes that we were talking
about
earlier.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, they're a member of the sunflower family, so they actually produce quite a nice flower. But the way they've grown at the moment, it is like a privet bush almost.
Yes, it's like a hedge, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is quite amazing.
Yeah.
Do you have to put special fertiliser on all your stuff?
I do a method of gardening called no-dig gardening, so I put a lot of manure and a lot of compost down.
And then you just leave it, that's
just
it?
Just leave it, and that's it. I do use, obviously, fertilisers and stuff. I try and do as organic as I can, so I don't like to buy non-organic stuff.
Right. So this is wiry stuff.
This is asparagus.
Is it?
Yes. Obviously, this is now... gone beyond the point that it's edible.
Oh, okay.
We had some of it, but I think, again, when I was last on your show, I said asparagus is a short season.
Yeah.
And now we're right at the end. But as you can see, it's a fern.
I see. You see, this is something, where unless you're actually in an allotment or you know somebody who's growing this sort of stuff, you don't really think that... It could go quite as bizarre as this, because you think of
what kind of plant it actually is.
You've got the spears of asparagus spears.
Yeah, asparagus spears.
And you snip those spears off, but if you don't, and they just go bonkers.
They just go. I mean, this is nearly as tall as me, really.
It is, isn't it?
It's,
yeah. I didn't know that. I just assumed they went into that spear shape and then died, because you're not exposed. Just shows how
I just
much.
I don't know. I mean, we're just so separated from food now, aren't we?
It's a real shame. A real shame.
Yeah,
rhubarb I've spotted.
Spotted rhubarb. I know you like your rhubarb.
I do like rhubarb. You're right. Look at the leaves. Look at Julia. Look, you could sit on that leaf, cross-legged. I mean, you couldn't. It wouldn't support you. But the size of that, it looks like a seat. It's an amazing size. I mean, how big is that? It's like a piece of SRA2.
Probably 3 foot across again.
Yeah.
And then imagine
just nod and agree. Smile and agree.
The stem is very large and healthy.
Yeah, I mean, rhubarb, has been very good this year.
Is that yours as well?
That's mine as well.
What's that thing over there, though?
That is globe artichoke.
Oh.
But I inherited that when it was here. It's another Mediterranean vegetable.
So does it come in a round shape?
It's a flower head. Should we walk over there and see if we can stand here? I see it. I don't think I've got any just yet. Within the next few weeks, I expect to get some.
That's impressive, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it is a monster. I mean, when I took this half on, I was worried it was taking over my neighbours, so I was trying to hold it back a bit.
Half expecting it to say, feed me, Seymour.
This second half, or your northern half, is it, or your western half?
Yes.
It's more spacious.
Yep, I've not gone for the
beds like right. I have on that one. I'm just having one large bed, then I'm having this as a strawberry bed, and that as a raspberry bed.
Oh, lovely.
And then my plan is to have a bigger shed down there.
Oh, wonderful. To survey everything.
Survey everything, have a couple going.
Yeah. And when your missus has thrown you out, you've got somewhere to come.
Yeah, you know my wife so well.
Yeah. So you've got nothing in here as yet.
I've got one marrow plant.
Oh, marrow.
Yes. This is very much a work in progress. It's right. As I said earlier, May is such a hectic time of year.
Is that what these sticks are for?
No, these are the tomatoes and cucumelon.
And there's some. And what melon?
Cucumelon. It's a cross between cucumber and melon. So you get very small.
Right.
They look like melons, but they taste of cucumber.
Wow.
So. Yeah,
how bizarre.
There's got to be a man-made Gosh. Thing.
So this is fascinating. Well, throughout the year, sorry to interrupt you. Throughout the year, we're going to get Richard to come back on my little show and show some of these incredible sounding vegetables.
Yeah, I'm highly curious about these now.
Yeah,
is it a man-made one or is it?
I don't know, actually. I haven't looked too much into the history of it. A few years ago, I saw them for sale. I thought, oh, they sound interesting.
Yeah,
I quite like my unusual stuff.
Yes.
So I got them, and they grow so easily. They're not the best producing, but I'll
and
trying.
Taste?
Tastes just like cucumber.
Oh, okay.
But they're sort of small, pea-sized.
Well.
They look like watermelon.
Oh, right.
Small, pea-sized watermelons that taste like cucumbers.
Yeah.
You just can't make that up.
No.
So marrow, where's your marrow?
The marrow is just here.
Anything to see?
No, it's... We're right at the end of a hungry gap, as I said earlier.
A what gap?
Hungry gap.
A hungry
there's
gap.
A period, yeah, it's sort of spring.
Right.
It's a period where there's not much food coming out of the garden. And this, I know some people who invest a lot of time in heating and making stuff to produce food. You can do it, but this is right at the end of a hungry gap where...
It's weird that, because... I know that there are winter vegetables that grow in the cold and horrible, you know, January and December sort of months. And you think, why? Why not grow now when it's nice?
Yeah, again, if a plant was available to grow food now, you'd be planting it in the winter.
Yes.
And
it's just too tough.
It's too tough for it.
Yeah. Breaking that solid earth. Yeah.
And if you look back at history, or especially religious things such as Lent and things like that,
oh, see.
They have a fasting period, and I'm convinced the two are...
They've matched them up.
Well, Lent was, you finished off what was in the larder, wouldn't you?
Yes, exactly.
So, yeah.
So that's your hungry
gap. Hence the pancakes and all of that.
Hence the pancakes, yeah.
Last of your flour.
Yep. Mm. Last of your flour, get rid of it, and what have you.
Yeah.
Right.
Just curious as to why your tomato canes are so big.
Because those tomatoes get really big.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they tower. I mean...
Pretty stripy tiger ones.
It'll be like a little jungle for me. This little pixie of a person, me.
No, I haven't got any of the tigerellas, the variety you're talking about. I've got blight-resistant ones I'm growing down here. There's three different types that I'm trialling to see what works out for the best. Cool. For blight resistance and flavour and everything. Blight is like a fungal disease that we always get. So what caused the Irish potato famine?
I was going to say. Mm. Got potatoes?
Yeah.
Down at the far end.
Yeah, they're all in pots and stuff. There's there's probably about 30 odd pots over there of potatoes. So we've got plenty of potatoes when they come into season.
When's your bumper crop then, when you've just, you know, everything's come out?
That would be September, October
September.
Time.
Yeah.
Proper harvest season.
It's the time to come round for free meals then, Julian.
You know you're always welcome. Yeah. I mean, again, the school holidays, that was harvest time, which is why...
Oh, yeah, why the kids were off school.
That was also why we had British summer time to make the most of the daylight, wasn't it?
It was post-World War II to try and... get the farmers to get their produce out to market. Obviously, back then, the milk, fridges still were in their infancy.
Yeah.
People would get milk delivered to their house and they would want it before they went to work. So
yes.
That's my understanding anyway. Yeah. To get it out, they would adjust into times. And also it gave the farmers
an extra time.
But yeah.
Fantastic.
We've got some more cabbages and stuff up to that end.
Did you say you had beans. An elder here?
Yes, is that's it, over there.
Oh, is it that? Oh, we thought that might have been it, but I didn't want to say in case I was wrong.
No.
Around this side.
Yeah, yep. Down here.
That's the elder, yes.
Yay.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I'm getting good at identifying them.
I should explain, Julia is very passionate about her trees.
I do love tree hugging.
And we've been drinking...
You'd have to hug a bush here, though, unfortunately.
I'll just shake its leaf like this, see, look.
We've been drinking elderflower cordial on the show tonight as well, which...
Came from this there bush, is it? Oh, no, the one in the garden, that's right, I remember you saying.
But the elderflower cordial, I think,
it
was very nice.
Absolutely,
it was delicious. Yeah, yeah, really nice.
Tasty.
Yeah.
I've only paid him a fiver to say that.
Is that all? Oi, I thought it was a tenner.
Well, I missed out on that one then.
Yeah.
Damn. Sorry.
It's £2.50 then I owe you, clearly.
Mm-hmm. Let's see how this works.
Yeah.
Well, that's an amazing allotment. Thank you so much for showing us round.
Absolutely
thank
thrilled.
You
thank you
so your
much.
Input, actually. It's been really great to get your side of the view of things of people who haven't
I mean I can see why you're spending so long here, because you've got so much so many different things, and each one obviously requires its own individual attention. Mm-hmm. And you know, it seems almost too much for one person. Does it overpower you sometimes?
At the moment it does feel a bit overpowering, but I enjoy it.
Yeah.
So it's not it's not a chore.
Yeah, if it didn't challenge you, it wouldn't be quite as thrilling, would it?
That's right.
I mean, I can imagine you get lots of satisfaction out of actually harvesting your own food as well.
Does Amanda come down here regularly?
Very, very occasionally. I think once or twice she's been down, but
this is your domain.
This is my domain, and that's very much how it is. And she's fine with that, because she does her own thing, I do my own thing. We meet, come back, and we've got something to talk about.
Yeah. I have to say, I quite like your man cave, if you can call it that.
Yeah, definitely. Well,
I'm sure I can get lost amongst all this foliage and stuff.
We'll wait for those tomatoes to grow up a bit.
Yeah.
And hide in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's very good. And what does it sort of cost to have an allotment these days?
It does vary from site to site, but this one costs me £66 a year.
£66 a year?
Yes.
That's not much.
Blimey.
That's
incredible.
£6 a month, I think, I suppose.
It's less than
World of Warcraft costs a month.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and the fitness that you must get from, you know, all that back-breaking work that you do.
But
the fresh air and the camaraderie with the other people and the advice that you can obviously share with each other.
Yeah.
And you know, an escape
all your little trees
place.
Or...
All the trees. Somebody walking past earlier and said hello, didn't they?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Very
£66 to get away from the missing... No, I mean, you know... It's a bargain for your own bit of... a rented plot of land to go and sit on a sunny day, even if you don't bother to do any gardening, just to sit there and read the paper. You know, people go to riverbanks, don't they, and all that.
Yeah.
You can grow your own food and eat your own produce on site. How brilliant.
Yeah.
Marvellous.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Great. Well, thank you very much, you two.
It's been an
absolute pleasure. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Loved it.
Great. Thank you.
Well, there we go. I don't know about you, but I found that really interesting. There were lots of thoughts and opinions. Very interesting how they realised how disconnected from food they are these days. You may have heard in that Julia showed an interest into growing her own food, and since Wednesday I've actually popped round her house and I've advised her on where to turn her garden into a vegetable patch, and I've given her a few plants, some tomatoes and courgettes and things like that, just to get her started. Now, I don't believe in telling people they should grow their own food as much as I would like people to. But I do believe if someone shows an interest, I'm going to do what I can to help them. And hopefully Julia will be growing more food. It'd be great if she does. I will be following up with her and see how she gets on with it. And I'll keep you all updated with progress. It's going to be pretty cool if she does. So that is this week's podcast up and done. It's a bit of a long one, I'm afraid, but I think it's been worth it. I'd like to thank you all for listening. I hope you have enjoyed this podcast. If you could leave me a review on your podcast service, I'd be really grateful, especially if it's a 5-star review, I'd be even more grateful. If you want to visit my website, it's thevegrowerpodcast.co.uk, where you can find out everything I do. I've got to put the May, what I spent in May up, actually. I've got to do that. I forgot about that last week. Anyway, but yeah, you'll find all my blog posts and things like that at thevegrowerpodcast.co.uk. You can email me, richard@thevegrowerpodcast.co.uk. I'd love to hear from you, actually. It's a very, very lonely life, this podcasting. And whenever I get an email, I love it. It's really nice to hear from you all. And of course, if you would like to support the show, then please visit thevegrowerpodcast.co.uk when you plan to buy something from one of my affiliates, such as Amazon. Now, this doesn't cost you any extra. It just puts a little cookie when you click on the Amazon link. It takes you to Amazon. You do your shopping like normal, and I just get a little bit of commission from them. So I would love if you do that. I'd be very, very grateful. And that just provides me a little bit of cash to take the podcast onto things in the future that I've got planned. But anyway, till next time, please take care, and I'll speak to you all again.